The word of God which engages us this day is the lesson just read previously from Luke chapter 13. Dear friends in Christ, isn't the beginning of the spring quarter wonderful? The weather is improving on most days, today being a notable exception. But it won't be long, we know, before the trees are budding out and the flowers are blooming and everything seems so fresh and new. We just know deep down that this quarter is going to be better. And so we might resolve and determine to ourselves that we're going to make it better. This quarter, I won't skip any classes, we might say. This quarter, I'll spend more time with my family or friends. This quarter, I'll actually read the reading assignments from the professors. How determined we are at the beginning. But fast forward 2 weeks from today. When your friend calls you and tries to entice you to play 18 holes of golf on Thursday afternoon. You think to yourself, the weather is going to be fantastic. I only have one class on Thursday afternoon anyway. And you know, 18 holes of golf would really clear my head. I'd be intellectually sharper and be able to approach my classes on Friday with a clear mind. In fact, I know I promised my wife that we'd take the children to the zoo, but it could wait a little bit. And after the golf, I'd be in a better frame of mind to be with my family anyway. And with a clear mind, I could probably buzz right through that reading and get more out of it than if I attended that class on Thursday afternoon. Sure, let's go. We are so very determined in the beginning, but how easily our determination crumbles. This quarter, you fill in the blank. It might be class attendance. It might be time with family and friends. It might be class assignments. It might be other things, such as speaking the truth in love with one another. It might be putting the best construction on everything when the conversation takes a turn toward gossiping. It might be forgiving one another as Christ Jesus has forgiven you when someone has wronged you. Whatever our this quarter aisle might be, how determined we are in the beginning, but how easily our determination crumbles. If it's any consolation, we are far from the first to experience this. Remember Exodus chapter 24, when Moses told the people of God all that God had commanded them to do, and the people said, "All that the Lord has commanded us is pleasing in our sight, and we will do all of it." They were so determined. Oh, remember Maundy Thursday evening, when Jesus told the disciples that all of them would fall away on account of him. Remember Peter who said, "Even though they all will fall away, I shall not fall away on account of you." And how soon the rooster would crow. Our determination is so very strong in the beginning, but how easily it can crumble. What a contrast to our text for today, where we see a determined Jesus who will not be deterred from going the way of the cross. The Pharisees come to him, and they are equally, it seems, determined. And in an apparent show of trying to come to his aid, they say to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else, for Herod wants to kill you." But we see a determined response by Jesus. You can almost hear a cadence of determination in his response. "Go and tell that fox that I will heal and cast out demons today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal." It's a determination that Luke tells us about actually four chapters earlier than our text in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, where Jesus sits down the disciples and says to them, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law, and be killed, and on the third day be brought to life again. It's a determination that Luke tells us about again, 30 verses following that. In Luke 9, verse 51, where Luke records how Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, or as the NIV translates it, set out resolutely for Jerusalem. It's the same determination we saw earlier as Christ triumphed over the temptation by Satan in the wilderness. It's the same determination we saw when he resisted the temptation after feeding the 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children with just 5 loaves and bread and 2 fish, and the people came to make him their earthly king, not going the way of the cross. It's the same determination we would see on Maundy Thursday evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus, thinking about all that would take place in the next 24 hours, prays to the Father, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." It's the same determination we would see moments later when Jesus is about to be arrested and Peter, in an impetuous way, picks up a sword and cuts off the ear of the soldier Malchus, and Jesus not only heals the ear, but reminds him that if he wanted to, he could have called down legions of angels to thwart that arrest. It's the same determination we see on the cross when he is jeered by those standing around saying, "If he is the king of the Jews, let him come down and save himself." Determined because of his love for you and for me and for all people. Determined by his desire that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Determined to lay down his life as payment in full for the sins of the world. And that's exactly what he did. How beautifully Martin Luther puts it in a sermon he preached on John chapter 1, verse 36, where he said, "There are only two places that our sins can be, either upon us and upon our shoulders, or upon Christ, the spotless Lamb of God." He went on to say that if they are upon us and upon our shoulders, we are lost and condemned. But because they are on Christ, we are free and blessed. As Paul puts it, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." But as determined as he was, our text leaves us this day with a powerful and perhaps somewhat disturbing image of Jesus. The image of him weeping over the lost souls of Jerusalem. An image that not only shows us his determination and his desire, but also his compassion for the lost. May that image produce in each of us a sanctified, holy determination, if you will, that is dedicated to that which he is dedicated, seeking and saving those who are lost. And may that determination, that dedication, be renewed and strengthened throughout this season of Lent as we follow our determined Savior to Calvary. Amen.